evening, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're just going to start there today. Matthew chapter 8, there we find a very familiar story to us, starting in verse 23. Now when the disciples got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to perish. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Oswald Chambers, he writes this, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. It's true, as we look at what we must do as a believer, we must fear God. We must have such a awe, such a respect, such a love, and even a fear for God, that we are honoring Him in everything that we do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it says, you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Then you know what Timothy is told by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the dentist? That might not be a bad thing to be afraid of. Afraid of the doctor? Going to the doctor? Are you afraid about your children or grandchildren, the state of their spiritual life as they grow up? Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of family members who are not saved? Maybe the health of a spouse? Are you afraid of your financial future? Or of what's going to happen in the government? Or internationally? Maybe you're afraid of your own personal safety. How do you deal with those fears? The truth is, we're all afraid of something. Maybe we're afraid of the very mighty and powerful, very little gardener snake in our going along in our yard. Maybe we're afraid of the type of people that we walking by as we do our errands. Maybe we're afraid of something tragic happening to us. Yesterday, we were coming home. Zach was doing a job, and we were coming home from there. And we were going to go the one way, and I looked down the street, and I said, wow, look at that. There's the fire engines. We had heard them. So we come up all the way up to Hartman here. And we get over here by church, and I look down the hill, and you know what I see? There's a fire engine. We actually got down there. And just before we got there, we were able to turn, so we were out of the way. I don't know what was going on, if it was National Accident Day or anything yesterday, but there was plenty going around. I generally don't fear for anything like that, but I was starting to get nervous. There was two of them. And the old fable is there's always a third, and I didn't see a third one yet. Well, I wasn't really afraid of getting in an accident, but it doesn't take much for us to be afraid of that, is there? All of a sudden, we're not paying attention, or somebody else is not paying attention, and you might be really close to somebody. We can be afraid of a lot of things. And I know that you are afraid of things as well. How do you handle those? Does it make you sick to your stomach? Does it make you heartache? Does it make you nervous? Does it make you exhausted? Fear is one of the most paralyzing emotions that there is. If you are a commander, you're trying to pep talk your soldiers. So that way they're going forth in courage. And they're thinking of no fear because of how wonderful they are and mighty they are. How they're going to win. They don't think about the fear. Why? Because when you think about fear, it paralyzes you. It keeps you from doing what you need to do. That is why you see on some of the jerseys or the helmets of sports teams, a picture that looks ferocious. They want to give an impression that they are very powerful, like the Lions. That's a good one for a football team. Or the Bears. That's a good one for the football team as well. The Tigers, that's a good one. Storm chasers, maybe not so much. You want to induce fear into your opponent. Why? Because they'll be thinking about how afraid they are rather than on focusing on their winning. I remember the first time I was sitting down in the living room. It was late at night, and we'd gotten in the house just not long before. And if do you know how it is? When you try to open the door and you push and it's locked, you can hear it. Hear the pfft. Well, I was sitting there. Everybody else had gone to bed. I don't remember if I was watching TV or doing a little reading or work or something. And all of a sudden I hear pfft. And you know what that makes me think? I'm going to die. Who's at the door? It's like 11 o'clock or so at night. Who is at the door? If you listen tonight, real careful, here's a homework assignment for you. Go to bed and pay attention to every noise. You'll be very tired tomorrow. Because it sounds like somebody's walking, somebody's trying to break in. If you've got a branch that hits the window or the side of the house, you will have fear. Well, I turned the light on when that happened and I looked outside, there was nobody there. And it keeps happening night after night, sometimes twice in the night. I think that guy really wants to get in. It's the house readjusting and the wind, the pressure in the air causing that noise. And it's a strange noise. Because I know that guy, it's been over a year, and he's got to know that door's locked. And there's never anybody out there if I ever go out to look. So I know if I let it, in my mind, create fear, it will. In your life, some things that there is legitimacy to be afraid of. But how do you handle that fear? Do you handle it with the paralyzing shock? Or are you the kind of person that can do what Joshua did? Now, I don't know if it is anything of consequence. If it reveals anything of the character of Joshua. But Joshua is told about five times in the end of Deuteronomy and in the beginning of Joshua to be strong and courageous. Now, if somebody has to be told something five times, it makes me wonder if possibly he was the type of person that was somewhat fearful. I don't know for sure. But I want you to turn to the book of Joshua, and I want you to see how to deal with fear. Israel at this time had escaped Egypt. They had gone to the promised land, the land which right now is the land of Israel. Actually, what's promised them is farther than the boundaries they have right now. They get there, and they're on the other side of the river of Jordan, and they're getting ready to go in. There's some work to do. When they go in, they're going to have to fight. They just can't walk in and the people that live there say, oh, no problem, we'll move out. No, and these people are in fortified cities. The Jews, they're still living out in the streets. They're nomads. They have no homes other than the land that they have conquered on the east side of the river. They've got to go in and win and defeat these people. Now, these people, it says, are giants. These people are mighty. These people are numerous. And the Israelites are supposed to go in and take over? What a difficult thing. What a fearful thing. We find in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land I swore to your fathers to give them. When you are afraid, what can you do? Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 is directed towards Joshua. It's not directed to you. It's directed to Joshua. However, every reason that he has is every reason that you have to be strong and courageous. He's told to be strong and courageous because of God's promises. How many promises of God can you recall? God's unending love, John 3:16. His promise of provision in Matthew chapter 6. Why do you worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? The promise of his protection. Yea, though through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's promised his presence. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. How many other promises of God do you know? That might be a good challenge for you, to learn some of the promises of God. Now, when do you use those promises? Do you use them when you're quizzed at church? Do you use them when you're bored and trying to think of something to do, or maybe trying to count those promises? When do you use those promises of God? Do you actually use them when you're afraid? It's a novel idea, isn't it? To use God's word when you're afraid? Maybe we know them up here in our mind, but do we know them in our heart? Do we sincerely believe it? Can you imagine what Joshua would have been like if Moses and God had told him to be strong and courageous? And he said in his mind, I know that I am to be strong and courageous. And he sat in his tent, shaking, because he was scared. How effective of a leader would he be? How effective of a military giant would he be? How effective would they have gone in? They've gone into Jericho, looked at the walls, and a number of people, and come back out and said, there is no way. Think about that. If you think about this building right here, made of the blocks, and you went and pulled a branch off one of these trees, and you tried to break in, not through a window, but through the walls, and you take that stick and you start beating the wall, trying to break in, it would be pretty pointless. The Jews, even though they've had some military experience, because God had to teach them, he said, he had to teach them war. Because they had come out of Egypt, they knew slavery. And so they had gone into Edom and into Sihon and Og, Bashan. They've gone to those places and they learned war. But to what degree? They still didn't have a lot of experience. And now this time they're going up these mighty walls. In fact, double walled. How in the world do you get into something like that? So the only option is to come back out and say, Joshua, we tried. We just want to go back to Egypt because there's nothing here for us. Or we just want to stay on this side of the river, because fear would have gripped them. Instead, he took those to heart and believed every word God said. God had said, he says, I will, for this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. I promised this land to you, now go get it. How many promises do you know that you don't go get because you fail to believe them? The promises of if you meditate on God's word, that you will prosper in due season, Psalm 1. The promise that God is always with you and will never forsake you. So when you think you're alone, you know he's actually there. We have the promise of provision. In Philippians it says, my God will supply all your needs. And so what do we do when all the bills come? We get scared, we get nervous. The truth is, we can rely on God's promises. Fear is a natural reaction to the things going on around us. But God's word is a supernatural action against fear. Be strong and courageous, verse 7. that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right to the right or to the left. When you see that, that's not necessarily familiar to us in our society. But when it talks about not turning to the left or to the right, think about yourself on that track course. You've gone by some of the tracks and you've seen the lanes in the tracks. I'm not talking horse or dog tracks. I'm talking racing tracks. You'll see it on the Olympics this year where the runners are all in their lane. And you see that each lane, and they are not to go out of their lane. I believe the rule was that if you're running and your foot hit that line three times consecutively, they would call you out of your lane and you would be gone. You couldn't even run on the lane, on the line of the lane. You had to stay in your lane. You could not go to the left. You could not go to the right. You had to go straight on. Same with God's word. This is God's word, his written word. Don't stray from it by veering off to one way or the other. Be right down the line. That is the way we are to handle God's word. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How is he going to be successful in doing this? By heeding God's word. Be strong and courageous to observe God's law. Now, this may not seem like a difficult thing for us, but listen, if everything stays on course, you are going to be required by law to write a check. That check is to be designated to an abortion fund, either to the insurance company or to the government. So you will get a separate bill for a check, to write a check to pay for that fund. What are you going to do? Understand there's a very real possibility if you don't pay, they will drop your insurance. Then what? This is something that is right around the corner. What are you going to do about it? You know what God says about abortion. In the womb is a baby. You writing a check is funding murder. You not writing a check could be signing off your last insurance payment. So what are you going to do when you get sick? You break your arm. You fall down and break a leg. And you have no insurance. What shall you do? Do you think you might need to be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous to observe God's law. Be strong and courageous to see God's blessings. We must be strong and courageous if we're going to see God's blessings. In the very end of verse 7, it says that you may prosper wherever you go. He says at the beginning of verse 8, meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do all that's written in it to the end. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. This message, this passage could be used to talk about how can I be successful in my life? By meditating on God's word. Psalm 1 says the same thing. We look here and it says, if we want to be successful before God, doesn't mean you're going to be millionaires. Doesn't mean that you're going to be on TV. Doesn't mean you're going to be in all the newspapers or in the Sports Illustrated. No. But according to God's eyes, being successful in what he has set before you, prosperous that way, you must be strong and courageous. And being strong and courageous to do God's word. And being strong and courageous to learn God's word. You teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unify my heart to fear your name. If we fear God more than others, we will do and be strong and courageous. We need to be strong and courageous because of God's precious promises. We need to be strong and courageous to observe God's law. We need to be strong and courageous to see God's blessings. And we need to be strong and courageous because of God's presence. In verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do you think that when a person is out on the field, in the battlefield, out in Afghanistan or Iraq, and it's their turn to go on patrol, do you think they're maybe a bit nervous, perhaps even scared, afraid? I bet they are, to some degree. But they have absolute control over that fear so they can be strong and courageous. Why should they be strong and courageous? Because if they're not strong and courageous, they cannot fulfill their duty. If they're not strong and courageous, they're not alert to what's going on. They're not looking for the trouble. Instead, they're too busy defending themselves. They're too busy huddled up in the corner, shaking nervously. They must be strong and courageous. You must be strong and courageous. And how are you going to do it? Why not do it with some teamwork? It's always better when somebody else is there too. And you both scream like a girl when you see the spider crawling across the ground. It's always better when there's somebody else alongside of you. And because we don't see God with our eyes and we don't hear Him with our ears, and we don't feel His hand in ours, we become fearful. We forget God is right there. Even though here He's promised to Joshua that I will be with you wherever you go. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He tells you, "I am with you always." God has promised His personal presence. Not just His personal presence in the sense of He being God is everywhere present all at the same time, but especially with you in a very special way. You know, going out in the dark can be scary, especially if you don't know where you're at. I remember we were down in the cave, and when I was growing up, we went to Colorado and then went down in one of the caves, and they said, "This is what color a cave is." Flip, and all lights went off. And guess what color a cave is when the lights are out? Black. It is super black. There's no hint of any lights anywhere. And all you can think, the huge vampire bats, the big boogie monsters, the lizards that'll come up out of the ground and gnaw on your flesh. That's all you can think about. And you think about yourself, "I hope these lights come back on because I have no clue how to get out of here." I remember as we were walking, I didn't say anything to Jason because, you know, he's 4 years younger than me and he's just a chicken, you know. I didn't say anything to him, but as we're walking, if the ceiling was high enough, you could see the little bats, the real ones, the little bats hanging from the ceiling above your head. That's a little nervous. And the leader says, "We're not going to go in that cave, that section of the cave over there, because over in that section of the cave over there, that's where the bats, you know, get together. And at night they'll come, in the evening they'll all come rushing out." But boy, I'm just so glad I came on this trip. And it's nice to know, though, you've got a guide there. If something were to happen, I'm sure she had a flashlight, there was somebody there that knew the way and could help you. God knows the way and He can help you. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. We can trust God because and be strong and courageous because of His personal presence with us. If we are afraid, if we choose not to be strong and courageous, then we will be like those 10 other guys. And it happens back in Numbers 13. For after they come out of Egypt, they went the first time to the land of Canaan. And they got up there to the land of Canaan, and they sent 12 spies in. The spies, they went in, and they looked into the cities. They looked at the land. They looked at the people, and they come out. And they said, boy, it is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. And they brought back from the vineyards the grapes, and they were just magnificent. As they see that land or talking about it, they said, but the people that dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. We were not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. The land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw were men of great stature. They were giants. There we saw giants as we were grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were in their sight. These people were big. How do you deal with the situation that way? Two of the people had come back and said, look, this is ours for the taking, let's take it. The other 10 spies said, do you understand what these people are like? And so fear won the day. And the whole community of the Israelites said, if the people are that way, we cannot go in and take it. Caleb and Joshua say, no, we can take it. God's promised it to us. Who cares about all that? They were already strong and courageous. However, because of the 10 spies, the Israelites had decided that was not for them. They got their just deserts. 40 years of wandering in the desert till that generation died off. God was not happy. When we let fear run our lives, God is not happy. If we fear God, we can be strong and courageous. So we don't have to worry about all those fears out there. Why? So I know the Lord, my God, is with me. Whether it's going to the dentist, maybe it's going to the doctor, maybe it's hearing bad news. What are you going to do? It's so easy to let fear run our lives. But if we instead at that moment go to God and seek Him and ask for His strength and His courage, we may not necessarily like the events that are happening around us, but we can be strong and courageous through them. So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of God, or are you more afraid of men? Are you afraid of God, or are you more afraid of being embarrassed? Are you afraid of God, or are you more afraid of what people might think about you? Are you afraid of God, or are you afraid of something else? Nothing motivates God's people better than a healthy and proper fear of God. So, fear God. Be strong and very courageous. Father, I thank you so much that we don't have to fear in a paralyzing fear. But Lord, as we trust you, as our fear of you motivates us, help us when those situations which will cause us surprise, which will cause fear, help us to be strong and courageous. Help us that we might trust you and your promises that you've given to us. Help us that in everything you might be honored because we fear you. Father, I thank you so much that we can overcome these fears and be strong and courageous, not by any of our might or strength, but by yours. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name.